Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 24, 2023. When killing others, you kill yourself. Question: do you think a killing gene is present in every person? Answer: every person has this inclination because every one of us is comprised of the full set of desires, from the best to the worst. Question: so do we have absolutely all desires? Answer: all of them. Question: I heard that a serial killer said that every time he killed a part of himself. Do you think a person is constantly engaging in some sort of suicide if he kills others? Answer: that is correct. It is natural because we are all in one common desire, in one common system. Everything that exists is inside of me, still, vegetative, animate, and human. By killing someone or something, I kill a part of that inside of me. This is so true that a person must repent, so to speak, when he uses anything from this world for himself. He must justify this consumption, starting with a gulp of air and ending with lives, and so on. It is the same as when we consume food or anything else. All of it requires some kind of correction. Question: are you saying that a person kills a part of himself if he kills someone in war or somewhere else? Answer: yes, that is correct. Question: but even when killing an animal for food, am I also killing something inside of me? Answer: yes. Anything at all, when I consume it, including, as I said before, a gulp of air, a gulp of water, it does not matter what, by that I consume, nevertheless, I kill that particle of the cosmos and I must somehow take responsibility for it. That is why there are blessings that we have to say and more things. A person feels this even subconsciously. There are people who, before drinking something, pour a little out of the cup, cut off a piece of bread, and put it aside, or do other things. This all indicates that a person understands that he is taking from nature and taking practically without ever returning it. By that, he kills the universe. And he wants to give, share, and so on. This exists in many nations, and it is subconsciously instilled in man. Comment: so to exist I must kill around me. My response: if you do it as a necessity for your existence, to support life, then it is another matter. But you must understand it, nevertheless. That is why you have to say a blessing, so to speak, set apart a piece for someone, a tithe, and so on. Question: and a blessing, is it when I say that I require this for my existence? Answer: yes. Even though it is not my fault, I was not the one who created myself this way, but I recognize this and share it in this way. Question: can you say why this was done? Globally speaking, for what? Answer: a person must understand that he is in a world where he has no right to anything at all. And if he takes something and consumes it for himself, for his own sake, then he must pay for it, give it back, repay it, and so on. Question: and the fact that we ruin everything, kill everything, and that we have brought the environment to the brink, will we be punished for that or not? Answer: yes, it is a great shame. Question: does all of it boomerang back to the person, in your opinion? Answer: we will have to pay for all of it globally. Comment: Rabbi Akiva said that the book is open and the hand writes, and you borrow, but later you will have to return all of it. My response: indeed. Question: is this what we are talking about, the same thing? Answer: yes. Question: is taking normally only when it is for one's existence? Answer: it is only for existence, and if you take it only for existence, then you will be able to bestow it. Comment: and that is blessed. My response: relatively speaking. This is very complex because nature is closed, whole, and perfect. That is why our existence in it, in nature, requires us to be very careful and to be in complete bestowal. Question: how do we nevertheless reach harmony with nature? Answer: Only by attaining the feeling of unity with nature and the opportunity to bestow as much as we take, then we will regulate how much to take and how much to give. Question: but in principle, are we constantly moving toward this, one way or another? Answer: I hope that one day we will get there. Question: but why were we not given an understanding and feeling of this? We take without a second thought. Answer: but we are moving toward this. This is development, the gradual development of nature from the still level onward. Question: so do we have to come to a state where I cannot simply take and that is all? And even more so, to kill, steal, and so on? Answer: of course. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 23, 2023. The thought of the Creator. The thought of creation was to delight the created beings in accord with his abundant generosity. For this reason, a great desire and craving to receive his abundance was imprinted in the souls. This is so because the will to receive is the vessel for the measure of pleasure in the abundance, Baal-ha-Sulam, preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah. Question: it turns out that initially the Creator created us in such a way that we want to receive pleasure from the connection with him, and this depends on the measure of our desire. What does it mean to receive pleasure from the connection with the Creator? Answer: this phenomenon also exists in our lives. We do not need to go into some cosmic space or dive into spiritual levels. In accordance with his desire, a person can feel something that he wants, and he can even measure, weigh, and tell himself and others about it. Therefore, desire is a necessary condition for a person to feel something. Since the Creator wants to delight the created beings, he created a desire to receive pleasure from him in them. Thus, there is the Creator who radiates pleasure, and there are created beings who receive this pleasure, and they should feel that they receive it from the Creator. It all depends on us. Nevertheless, there are conditions under which we can feel the pleasure emanating from the Creator, be filled with it, weigh it, define it, and even talk about it. From CAB TV's preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, May 14, 2023. The Privilege of Desire. Question: in the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, Baal-ha-Sulam writes that both pleasure and desire come from the Creator. However, they must be separated since pleasures come from Atzmuto, and desires are existence from absence. The Creator seemingly created the creation from nothing. What does created from nothing mean? Answer: in order to feel something, we need a desire. Initially there was no created being. When it appeared, there was a desire in it to feel the Creator, to come closer to him, and to be filled with him. This is what the Wisdom of Kabbalah tells us. Question: can we say that all the desires of our world are pleasure from the Creator? Answer: yes, absolutely everything, because our world is included in him. The general pleasure that comes from the Creator and that all his created beings feel can be felt only to the extent of the desire that exists in the created being. To the extent that I want to feel pleasure, I can feel this fulfillment. From CAB TV's preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, May 14, 2023. Conflict of Reasons. Question: how do you distinguish whether you are in corporeal or in spiritual reason? Answer: it depends on whether I am included in an upper degree, whether I annul myself before it. Or maybe I am no longer annulling myself but have climbed to this degree, I am in it, meaning I begin to absorb its reason into myself and replace my past reason with a new one. Question: can there be a conflict of reason? Answer: of course. This is a constant conflict because the next degree seems like it is opposite to the present one to you, and its logic seems absolutely logical because you have to annul yourself, connect with others, be a giver, get out of yourself, and do some seemingly logical things. Naturally, your reason is against it. What is considered positive at the upper degree is negative in your reason today. It is stupid. Why on earth would you give to others? Why on earth would you love your enemies? Why on earth would you only think about others? And where are you? These are all illogical actions, thoughts, and decisions. All this is aimed at making you gain a different attitude to reality and become limitless, infinite. And when you receive for yourself, you are constantly limited in your egoism. You are filled with something and that is it, no more, so you have to run for some other pleasure. You have tasted it a little bit, and again, like a little mouse, here a little bit, there a little bit, that is your life. You never get satisfied and just get exhausted, dried up. It bores you, it becomes hopeless, dull, and depressive because you feel that all this is useless, and eventually you die. And another perception of reality is based on bestowal, that is, on getting out of yourself, when you constantly get new desires that exist in other people. You attract these desires to yourself, begin to consider them your own, and fill them. If this desire was inside you, you would feel a very small pleasure. Look at how a mother feeds her baby. If she would eat the 100 grams of porridge that she gives the baby, what would she feel? And when her baby eats those 100 grams of porridge and lies satisfied, how happy she is. How many times is her pleasure greater than the pleasure of this piece of flesh which is now filled? This is a very small similarity of the pleasure, multiplied many times, which we receive when filling others if only we first achieve love for them. From CabTVs I got a call. What is the reason? February 21, 2011. The Golden Gate leading to optimism. Question: there is a famous bridge in San Francisco where people often committed suicide. Every week a man came there and looked down. One day a driver came up to him and said, "I see you here often. Come to your senses. Life is beautiful." The man smiled and answered him, "I am the most life-loving person in the world. I just develop this feeling even more when I look down from the bridge and realize that life can end." If we have this understanding that life can end in an instant, in a fraction of a second, does it increase our optimism? What do you think? Answer: I do not know. It depends if this affects a person. I have been to this place and have passed over this bridge more than once. It is a crazy height. The water below has a temperature of 7 to 9 degrees. This is the Golden Gate Bridge. Also, there are sharks down there. So, if you are not lucky enough to freeze in a few seconds or minutes, then they will eat you. Comment: with suicides, everything is clear. But I would like to know about optimism. The fact that in a moment he may die increases the optimism of this man. He says, "But I am alive, and life is beautiful." My response: but you can think the same thing when crossing the street. You do not have to go to San Francisco to do this. Question: but still many people jump from the bridge and commit suicide, and he just looks. How can we increase optimism? Do you have any advice for people? Especially today it would be good. Answer: optimism will be increased only in a good environment where there are friends and comrades. When we can support each other and understand how to practically approach the revelation of real optimism, then, of course, it is possible. Comment: you are saying that our life should consist of creating such a circle, and then nothing is scary. My response: then nothing is scary. We will exist in it. Question: what are my obligations in this circle? Answer: mutual support, care, and love. That is it. Question: does it mean that I grow this circle? I do not just enter it to receive. Answer: of course. Question: should everyone have this attitude? Answer: it is contagious, we can infect each other with it. If you enter such a circle, then you gradually become infected with their attitude. I think it is possible. Question: what about the usual thoughts of a person that I give them everything, I transmit love, but there is nothing in it for me. What should we do with such thoughts? They occur very often. Answer, also to get to a circle that would destroy them in you. Thoughts about yourself should eventually disappear. Question, is this the main result? Answer, yes, so that you think about others, not about yourself. Question, is it possible to dissolve like this and think only about others? Answer, of course, it depends on the environment. Comment, usually, you give an example of a mother who lives like this, if we are talking about our corporeal world. My response, well, this is a mother, and we are talking about an ordinary person. Question, is it possible to think about them all the time, to exist for them? Answer, yes. We should receive such an example and such an attitude from the environment. Question, then can we work with optimism? Answer, then you can enjoy life. Question, I see. You said that this is how you come closer to upper optimism. What is the upper optimism? Answer, the upper optimism is when you feel that this is the absolute law of the world and that this is the meaning of existence, to rise to its level and exist in it. Question, when you say optimism, what is it? Answer, optimism is when everything is great, has its own meaning, and revolves exactly according to this law, love your neighbor as yourself. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 30, 2023. No need to worry about the loss of loved ones. Comment, a student who watches almost all our videos, writes, Dear Michael Leitman, my beloved husband, my soulmate, passed away a month ago. I try to ease my pain with thoughts and hope that our souls are connected and that I lost the body, but not the unity we had when he lived. Has a part of my soul gone with him? How can I feel a part of his soul in me? Maybe you can answer me. It is very difficult to live without him. My response, yes, it is difficult to answer such questions, moreover, obviously to a lonely elderly woman. I think that the main thing is that we should not blame anyone for anything. The upper force moves all parts of nature, including us. We need to look at this in a completely practical, pragmatic way. Let us prepare ourselves for the state when we will know and see everything and feel our world from above. Question, could you tell what state she should be in? He is gone, and there is no physical body in front of her. Answer, she must be in a state of submission. What is there, let it continue. Time will change, and fate will change, and then we will feel a new life. Question, if you pass all this obediently? Answer, yes. Comment, that is, to return to this all the time and torment yourself with it. My response, no, none of this is necessary. Torments are not needed. Question, and what to submit to in this case? To fate, to the upper providence? Answer, to both. It is the same. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 20, 2023. Formula of interaction of three values. Question, if everyone is controlled by the Creator, where is their freedom? Answer, we have to disseminate the knowledge of Kabbalah, realize it on ourselves, and show an example to the whole world. And the whole world has to accept it and implement it with our help. If it does not want to, that is its business. If it wants to, it will slowly understand. Question, but this is not the desire of creation, is it? Answer, no one asks the creation, just as no one asked you whether you should be born or not. You are brought to the opportunity to act freely. If you want, use it, if you do not want to, then do not. Then you will be led in circles by a long way and through a lot of problems. If you implement freedom of will through your correction, yearn for it by yourself, and do not resist with all your might, then you go forward and everything is fine. But if you resist, then you will be led by force, like all stubborn ones. If you understand what reward and punishment means, then you will understand that there are two reins that will pull you back and forth. By being prodded from behind by punishment and attracted by the reward ahead, you will always go where you need to. Comment: it turns out that in this case, the creator is a sadist. My response: the creator is the upper force. The force. What right do you have to apply any epithets to it? Merciful, cruel, and so on. Everything that Kabbalists write comes from what a person feels. The creator does not feel anything. This is a force of nature, an absolute force in which there is no pity, no anger, nothing. It is the force that should bring all creation to a single end. It has a certain program. According to this program, the will to receive and the will to bestow gradually come closer to each other according to a certain formula of equivalence between them. This formula is known: between the will to receive and the will to bestow, there must be a screen that balances both forces. A very simple formula for the interaction of these three values forms the entire program of creation and implements it. This is the creator, the creation, and a system of interaction between them, which brings them closer and closer at each degree. From CabTV's I Got a Call. What is a parallel world? March 1, 2011. Path to final correction. We, people, were created uncorrected like little children so that we would work hard to correct ourselves and through our efforts achieve a state equal to the Creator, become like Him, and understand His thought and His plan with regard to us. This is so that we make our way to the final correction and find out why the Creator has broken us so much, why we need to correct this on our own, in what conditions we should be at every moment of time, and what to learn from it. When we finish all of this path, we will become understanding and ready for something, but we do not know for what. We have only now received the understanding that in our world there is an opportunity to discover that we are corrupted, an opportunity to correct ourselves with the help of Kabbalah and reach the state of final correction. What will happen to us after that is unknown. After all, the corrected perfect state of the entire creation is achieved when it becomes one single whole and as one single organism opposite to the Creator. The Creator and creation become equal partners, similar to each other, opposite in their natural qualities, and absolutely identical in their external states of love and bestowal. What happens to them next, we do not know. We cannot understand it. This is a completely different mind and different feelings when everything merges into one single whole. This is the true state of that single force that is called the Creator. Someday we will get there. I hope it happens quickly. Then, when we are restored to a complete connection, one single whole and one single organism, the next stage will come. From CabTV's I Got a Call. What is it to be out of the body? February 21, 2011. Anyone can be a Kabbalist? Question: what is science in your understanding? Answer: science is the exploration of the world through our sensory organs and devices that expand their range of perception of reality to the extent that it is available to us. Any science is characterized by the repeatability of experiments and receiving real results. In no case should you add any of your guesses, additions, or theories. They take place in science, but only as assumptions, not its basic truths. I, like scientists, absolutely follow this definition of science. I have no disagreements with them on this. The only problem is that they do not understand that Kabbalah is the same science that studies reality, only the reality that is not available to everyone. Animals cannot explore our reality. Plants cannot explore the reality of animals and our reality. We cannot explore the reality that Kabbalists discover, only after they have created an additional sensory organ in themselves and thus feel the next dimension, a deeper world, on another wave, which we cannot feel, but which everyone can feel if they develop this sensory organ in themselves. Therefore, Anyone can be a Kabbalist, that is, can receive this additional knowledge. From Kab TV's I Got a Call. What is Science? March 28, 2011. New Life 298. Creativity at Work.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And we're holding a series of talks on society and us, people around us, at home, at work, in our society. Our entire life is basically our interactions with whomever is not us. How can we improve these interactions in order to attain a better life? This is our topic for today. Tal, take it away, please. Yeah, on the previous show, we talked about creativity. We reviewed this area extensively, and today we'd like to touch upon this topic concerning organizations. I'm doing my master's in corporate social psychology, and as the organizational consultant, I'm now going out to society and would very much like to help organizations thrive, achieve good results, etc. Now, what's interesting is that in the past one or two centuries, we've been seeing change, meaning that if in the past we had different geniuses like Einstein, Picasso, Mozart, individual people who attained exceptional ideas and results which greatly promoted humanity, today there's a developing trend of, first of all, complexity, acceleration, that organizations understand that they need to renew things very quickly, and also they further understand that it's very difficult for a person to be alone and count more on teamwork, teams that think together. For example, if a century ago the Wright brothers built the first plane, only two people. Today there are hundreds of engineers at Boeing building one engine, meaning the level of professionalism and knowledge has increased so much that many more people are needed to do even one small thing. I also read a bit about the idea that people get their best ideas in public places, for example, in coffee shops or when they meet at the organization, run into each other around the coffee stand and talk a little. There, in particular, is where the great ideas are born. So we better understand that good ideas and true creativity comes as a result of collaboration. For example, Steve Jobs built his organization in such a way that people will have to run into each other on the way to the restroom or to the cafeteria because he realized that those encounters in particular produce the greatest creativity. There's a study showing that the best research is created through collaboration of scientists. So the more people work on something, the better it turns out. So what's this trend? Why is it that today we're reaching a state where we can solve things only together? Yeah, true. In the past, in culture, in education, industry, in all aspects of life, a person alone was capable of doing almost any work. People were also universal. Scientists were universal too, until, suppose, three or four centuries ago. There was a PhD in philosophy, and that's it. There weren't physicists, mathematicians, astronomers. Rather, each of them included all of science. Even in medicine, this how it was. In music playing, musical instruments, etc. People increasingly integrated their entire domain within them. However, when we began developing over the last few centuries, this universality disappeared. Even in physics or chemistry, in order to be a scientist today, you need to invest your entire life in it. Even then, you can only be in one of the areas of your profession, and even within that area, only in a specific domain until you reach a very narrow segment where you can be an expert. It's very narrow and limited and almost impossible to know what is happening in other domains. Our problem is that we're incapable of encompassing all of man's creations mechanically, because we want to do it in a mechanical way. Meaning, I have to learn all of physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, mechanics, botanics, etc. Whatever has evolved from that general science, which 3 or 4 centuries ago was as one science. Today, it's already dozens of domains and thousands of levels. Furthermore, even if we're talking about connection among people, for out of these connections we're capable of creating something new. It's true that every new thing stems from connection. But the problem is the connection itself. We don't understand one another. Even professionally, how chemists, biologists, and physicists speak, and so on. In the same domain or situation, for example, when they observe a certain phenomenon in nature, each one speaks about it in his own vocabulary and definitions. It's the same in physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, etc., etc. So they hardly understand each other, and if they do, it's only superficially, not internally. Our problem is that we aren't meant to advance in research that way. True progress will come when we don't connect among us as chemists, botanists, and physicists, for example. Not in such a superficial, external way to connect within the science each one holds. Rather, we will connect with one another internally and understand, feel, and build a common bank of feelings, desires, and thoughts between us. Then we will be able to understand the phenomenon we've investigated, not from the aspect of chemistry, biology, physics, or zoology, etc., but inclusively, because we ourselves are going to be inclusive with an approach from physics, zoology, biology, and from every domain. There won't be domains, and we'll see nature in a round way, in a round form. That's why I think that the connection, as Steve Jobs and others wanted to build their business, will not last much longer. In the meantime, we're as if squeezing the fruit, which is pretty empty. People understand that we need to connect, talk, exchange information with one another in order to be creative. So what's the difference between the connection we're familiar with and the one that you're describing? I'm saying that the connection needs to be internal. Then it won't be incidental at the coffee stand or near the restrooms. And not just in a way that I feel or don't feel like doing it, or I catch some situation by the tail or something, but it'll be in a way that I'll feel from within all of these discernments, all of the phenomena of nature that the chemist feels in one way and the physicists in another way, etc., etc. I'll feel it from all sides. Why connect externally, superficially, incidentally, if I can do it internally? Yeah, I would be happy to learn how to do it in organizations. What's very common today is brainstorming. This is how usually teams work nowadays. Each comes up with an idea, and they already found that there's a problem there because brainstorming, you reduce criticism, and people have to come up with ideas freely. And they found out that what's missing is a conflict, that when there's a conflict, it brings people into an interaction and the results are better. So why aren't they creating conflict? Because you're saying that that's what's missing. Right, so if previously we said that brainstorming is the best way, the new thing is that we can't use only brainstorming because what's missing there is a constructive conflict or criticism, meaning that at some stage they realize that in order to truly achieve results, it can't be conducted so freely, rather there needs to be criticism and limits. Is this approach correct? I don't think that it's correct. That a new creation always comes from labor pains, and feeling and understanding and relationships and all sorts of ways. There needs to be a conflict one way or another. However, external clashes are a very narrow and primitive approach. We need to create conflict within a person, within each and every one, along with a conflict in the connection among people. So that, on the one hand, they'll want to connect and will feel a clash with their ego in that connection on the other. Then, when there's connection over rejection, this conflict can provide them with a new form of connection, not the same one they had while brainstorming, rather a connection on a different level. How is it possible to truly shift to a slightly more internal approach for a team now working with the external clash, a type of brainstorming where each one basically brings up his ideas and they end up with an accumulation of many ideas? Look, what do we gain by connecting more internally the way I recommend do it? We enter higher, more delicate and sublime layers of nature. It's the all-encompassing nature of information surrounding us, where governance and providence and all forces of nature are leading us through our development. Then we already become more adapted with that force governing our evolution. We also begin to further understand the nature of people and the nature of society. All in all, in these workplaces, we need to engage in the most appropriate creation necessary for society. In such a connection as we're creating, we further understand the nature of man, of society, and of the whole of nature. And what comes out is that we take a huge step forward and begin to suggest and invent such creations which have seemingly not even arrived yet to the desires of people in this world. It's as if we're running in front of the wagon for the horses. And it's good, because we have the option to lower our profile or to create something for the long run, which suppose if we don't need today, then we'll need next year, etc. Meaning, here we can really precede all the other people, all of our competitors. Right, that's what everyone wants, to precede the competition, but how do you do it? Yeah, but again, look, It's done by way in which we shift the entire conflict from the externality to the internality, where each starts connecting with others in love above hate, in friendship above separation. And this is the unique technology of the new social connection that we need to bring them as the implementation of integral education. Usually, when there is a meeting in the organization and we need to come up with some kind of product, we deal less with love and hate, but we deal with knowledge, thoughts, ideas. What knowledge if we want to create something new? If we want to bring up ideas here that, how will knowledge help me? I, as a great scientist, can see in a children's sandbox suddenly some toy that will give me some bright idea about space engineering, about some part of a spaceship. It has nothing to do with one another. It's not about the amount of knowledge, but it's about a new approach, an enlightenment, a new way of seeing things, solutions that we stumble upon not because of lack of knowledge, but because we don't have an innovative approach. And here we have an innovative approach. Why? Why are we preceding the horses and carriage running in front of them? Because we want to connect people. That this is the direction in which nature is headed. Just like it brought about connection among the Europeans and is summoning the elimination of borders between countries and other things, in order to do something, to create one world. Whether we like it or not, we see that the world is becoming rounder, more interdependent, etc., etc. So, this is also the way in which we're uniting, connecting our factory, or at least those people that are responsible for creating the new product. So that's why we're running relatively in front of the wagon. And here, compared to all of our competitors, we can really succeed big time. Both in terms of time and the type of creation, that they'll maybe, you know, add some bends here, there, different color or whatever, but we'll actually be able to create new things, more than Steve Jobs and others like him. What domains are you referring to? All domains. Doesn't matter which. It could be new symphonies we create per order to revealing new things in nature per order and technical recreations like those of Edison and others like him. Truly so. From within the internal connection between us, from our integration, where each one becomes included of the others, where each absorbs in the most optimal, rational way, in the most flexible way, all the traits and characteristics that exist in others. And so here it's a different level of creation. It's really creativity that I really can't describe. I can't compare it with what we have today. But besides that, I'd say that maybe let's not get into other fields. I think maybe this is enough for now. In short, such a department needs to exist in every workplace. In every organization. Yeah, organization, factory, I don't know how to call it. And the workplace. The artistic creation department, I don't know how to call it, doesn't matter how. But the thing is that maybe integral development or something like that, that results from the interconnection between people. It's not like brainstorming where there's an external conflict, but it's connection and the finding of the solution as a result of the inner conflicts that exist within each and every one, that they rise above the internal conflicts and connect between them. Already above the conflict, the particular conflict of each and every one of them, and that which is between them and that one block, where you have one heart, one mind, one brain, and then come new ideas and thoughts, etc. What are the necessary conditions in such a group for it to happen? What does each need to do separately and together? They have to go through actual internal change through integral education. It's a must. Meaning, before engaging in their professions, before they engage in upgrading their work, they themselves need to go through serious upgrading. Many times, still, each of us is an individual with his own thoughts and ideas and desires, and sometimes, you said that working together should save us time. Sometimes it takes longer than doing the work myself. Right, because it's hard for them to connect with one another. They're different things. But I see that in the current situation, more and more people understand and dedicate time to it at their place of work. Each manager is very much concerned with the relationships among his workers because he knows that they can really hinder each other, ruin things for each other, and then you can't find out who's to blame for what, how did it happen, and altogether. My question is, brainstorming in such an organization, what does it look like? What is it? Brainstorming would look like a workshop where they understand that no one has any new creative idea, no enlightenment. Rather, they're seeking it in a mutual way to the extent of wishing for it to be born in the other. For it to be born in the other. For what to be born? An idea? So in a classic brainstorming, suppose the three of us are brainstorming, 30 people, doesn't matter. When it's your turn, we'll try not to criticize you. So you'll feel that there's a good atmosphere around you, and you'll try to express your idea. When it's my turn, you'll try not to criticize me, so I'll express my idea. And when it's her turn, she'll express her idea. Here I understand that the dynamics is different. I understand that I'll have no creative idea myself, but what I'm concerned with is for you to have a creative idea. No one has or will have. This is why we've reached a dead end and we really want or are looking for something new. We've reached a state where it doesn't matter how long we sit around, think, argue, brainstorm, nothing comes out. But here we need a new idea, which is that by integral education, we will change ourselves to the degree that we're integrated with each other in a nice, correct way. Stemming from that, we will seemingly actualize each one helps the other, his friend. I want everyone to know what I feel and understand, and I want to wish them all the best. We all want to connect in one heart and thought and one mind, and not just to brainstorm, where we actually argue with each other. We don't want to argue. Nothing will come out of the argument, only from connection. But in order to be in connection, I'm always in a state of internal argument, individual argument, constantly being at war with my ego. And if this is the way in which we connect, then we bear new ideas. Why? Because we stabilize or create a new mind and a new collective heart among us. And then each one adds and shifts the new mind and desire to the best of his ability. It's like our baby, who we all surround from all sides with a nice and good mutual attitude, not egoistic or individual, but as ours. This is where we begin to receive a heart, meaning desires, feelings, multiplied by the extent to which each annuls himself toward the others and integrates with the others, and the same in mind. And so it turns out that suddenly we rise to a state which is many times higher than the previous one. It's as though we've created a person within whom a new reality and power exist, which doesn't exist in our state, since he is created as a result of the fruit of love rather than the ego. Bestow rather than receiving for himself. And therefore, this character we've designed among us becomes much, much more creative. He's created from a different level of existence. He feels information, completely different information than the one existing in nature. This is the result of developing integral connection on the same team. The same body, called we, created from our connection in our center, is connected with a certain flow of information existing in nature on a higher level than us. And this is where our brilliant ideas come from. Yeah? So this is the result of the process. Yeah. So what I'm trying to understand is the process that led to this result. So going back to the brainstorming, I understand what typical brainstorming is. When it's your turn to speak, we'll hear what you have to say, and we'll try to listen. When it's my turn, you'll try to listen to me, etc. Now, you're saying that any organization that wants to conquer the market, you said they need to build in, so to speak, artistic creation team, in which there's a new type of connection that brings ideas and creativity from a new level. So, we get together around the table. I know what a classic brainstorming is. In this new team that you're telling us to build, when it's your time to speak in the brainstorming process, what are you going to say? Nothing? What will I say? Nothing. First of all, you need to be a new person. You need to go through integral education. That will give me what? It will allow you to be connected in a good, nice way with others. Suppose we went through that process, We got together in the organization's conference room to work on a new project. Until you came as that person leading us through this new process, making new people out of ourselves with a new worldview, when you have made the typical brainstorming. You talk, I listen, I talk, you listen, etc. What will the brainstorming look like in this new kind of technology, new kind of connection? When it's your turn, what happens? Doesn't matter, my turn, someone else's turn, everyone's the same. How does the discussion work? We're going to develop something new together? Well, suppose it's a discussion. I wouldn't call it a discussion, but still, it's connection. We get together in the conference room. Yes, there's a table. It's round, yes. What happens now? First of all, we begin by connecting among us, renewing our connection. We read a section from the materials of the integral education method and connect among us. We talk about the form of connection among us, how much it's above the ego, the extent to which we're creating and stabilizing the concept of we are as one, where each one is included in everyone. I and you, and you and me, and all the 10, everyone and everyone, suppose, all the 10 people. And that this connection really leads us to think on a different level. And also to feel. I want to feel everyone as one. How we come out of ourselves and reach the feeling of the center of our connection, where there's no I and none of my friends, rather we. And I disappear there, and my ego stays out. And we connect, not because I'll gain more. If I gain more, then it's just a group of egoists, like it was before when we brainstormed, when we were brainstorming. But here we have a different connection, where each of us emerges from himself and really wants to be as if spread out, as if integrated in everyone, to truly disappear in everyone, willing to serve them, fulfill their desires, being with their questions, minds, everything. In such a way, if I'm integrated in the other 9, and so is he, and so is he, we generate a certain field between us, where each is included in the 9 others, if it's a team of 10. Right. So, you spread yourself here among the 9, integrated with them, and so do he, and he, etc., etc. And so we created among us a common field where there's no you or I, but anyone who integrated with the 9 creates a type of layer, which is his attitude of love, connection, mutuality, and assistance towards others. The only place he exists. Just like you exist within a baby, and you truly want to be within him and give him everything, you don't exist. You don't feel your body. You only exist in order to help him when he's in trouble, for example, needs you, etc. If we connect in such a way and try to connect above the ego, then our conflicts still exist, but we're above them, helping each other attain such a form. Then there's a layer of the nice attitude towards others from each one, and each one's included of 9. And these 10 layers, they're like 10 sefirot, that's how it's called. But for our matter, it's not important. And so we create a special mechanism called Potsuf, our form. Now, in our form, that we've created and stabilized. Let's solve some problem. How much time do we need to dedicate to it? It's not a matter of time. As long as you haven't created this feeling, you don't proceed, because you won't have a new creation. So it's not a matter of time, but the quality of our connection. Yeah, it's art. That's why I called it an artistic creation. Yeah, it's art. You can say that it's from the word emunah, faith. Doesn't matter. What do you mean by emunah? Emunah means my good and nice bestowal onto others. Okay, so we've created this multi-layered artistic mechanism. What then? We start discussing the project itself. If we made it, if we created it, now let's discuss the project itself. How can we solve our specific problem? What are we going to do? Meaning, turns out that our solution will be in advancing toward a good creation. I don't understand. Our solution will be in a good creation for human beings. We won't be able to produce, maybe we will be able to produce weapons, but really it's for time of need. Our attitude toward each other perceives going to make good creations now.
Okay.
And so it turns out that we start discussing, suppose the new product. Yeah, suppose creating a new service product, yeah. So now, in such a group, you have the ability to really know what is to the benefit of other people. Even to be a step forward before they feel it. Okay. The first stage was creating the multifaceted harmony, multi-layered harmony. Right. The question is, what are we producing? What type of factory or workplace are we? It could be social technology. Oh, what do you mean? So it's not an actual factory that works with metal, steel, bottles, wood, things like that. You're talking about some kind of an office. Could be something related to education. We want to create an internet platform for people to be able to study. So you're not working with a still, vegetative, or animate material. It has to be technology that suits any organization in whatever domain they deal, whether it's creating wood or media products or whatever. What I'm trying to understand is the discussion technology. We have a certain challenge, a desire to develop something in a specific domain. No one knows how to. We're the experts. We were gathered, chosen from all the organization's employees to be the artistic creation team. You have now come out of a discussion with 10 people. Right. Now, from within the connection among them, the understanding among them, the same level to which they raised themselves, where they've attained an all-encompassing connection among them. Now, throw in there whatever you want. Okay. Let's say I'm leading the discussion and I threw in a question. How will the discussion be conducted now? They begin processing the question. How? From the new platform they've attained. That's clear, but now you're going to talk in your turn, I'm going to talk in my turn, she and hers. How am I supposed to relate to you when you talk? How do you relate to us when we talk? We complement each other, meaning no one dismisses the others. We're not in competition. Rather, we accept each and every idea and integrate with it. Just like earlier, I was integrated with 9 other people. Now I'm integrated with them as well, and proceed to connect and integrate with them and all of their ideas. And, you know, by nature, we immediately want to cut the other down, not to listen. Right. Here, the other way around. I listen, even though it seems to me as nonsense. And here there's an inner conflict again, but on a different level already, where we already begin to work among us on decision making. And then I hear each and every one. And I can even ask against my will, what does he exactly mean more precisely? And I want to be integrated with my heart and soul as if it were my own idea. While listening to him, I have no criticism, no ideas of my own, and I truly drink what he says. So it is with each and everyone. Everyone's integrated in everyone. You understand that I'm included of 9, and you of 9, and he's included of 9. You understand the measure to which we increase our intensity. Multiply everyone's integration in everyone, and all of us eventually coming to one. Now, from our connection, from within our connection, that we continue and work only on our connection. That's the only thing that we think about. That was in the first stage. Now it's stage 2, which is connecting to this new specific idea in which we also create the same level of connection among us. The platform where we're all integrated in each other based on the same idea. Once we were together only because we annulled our ego in order to be integrated with each other. Each put their ego aside and came to this connection in order to create something common, which is called we. Yeah, we became friends. Chaverim in Hebrew from the word chibur, connection. Now we brought in a certain idea and began to create the same mutual platform among us with the idea inside. When we are with this idea inside and everyone is integrated together without having anything of one's own, no one has something of their own, that's where we see the birth of a new common idea. Can I ask? Yeah. Previously you said that when the person leading the workshop will throw in a question, the challenge about the project itself, suppose you speak first. You said that once you start talking, Tal and I and everyone else, we needn't criticize or judge you, not even on the inside, not to judge you or anything, but to flow with you, to hear you, as if to silence all of my own ideas. Full, complete agreement. Right, with your words. And now you're talking. Yeah. Then it'll be my turn to talk. And this is how you'll relate to me. Yeah? You'll agree to what I say, with what I say. Yeah. Then you said that it is possible to ask in order to more precisely understand what you mean. Right, because maybe even though you've annulled your ego, ego meaning criticism, rejection, different things, everything that we have towards others always. Even though that I didn't listen, maybe I didn't understand, perhaps there's still some barriers between us, and what's in you didn't yet directly enter me. It's like when I don't understand my child and I want to understand him, Suppose, out of love, out of the desire to be, that it's completely important for me to understand. Yeah. This happens after you say whatever you say that will ask you, or we're moving on to the next person in the team. Technically, how does it work? The stage of scrutinizing with you, what exactly do you mean? Out of a clean place, not out of criticism, because we want to connect to what you said. Will we ask you after you finish talking or in the next circle, in the next round? Technically wise, how does it work? No, once I express myself, express yourself, we listen, and you can ask. Okay, we finished. We felt you. We're a team of 10. You are still inside of me. You want to integrate in me. Did I explain something to you? You're using this time in order to enter me, in heart and soul, your idea, your words. Me, in general, to feel what I feel, to understand what I understand, to enter my mind and heart. So the completion of this stage is that if one of us feels that he didn't exactly grasp you, he can ask in order to fully understand you. Not in order to fully understand me, but in order to fully be in me. It's not understanding with your exterior mind. So can you pinpoint it? That all in all, we speak to each other in order to give each other through these external media lines, my mouth, your ear, etc., to allow you to integrate in me through my talk. But you integrated, and I in you, but that you heard from me, and you're not sure that you integrated in me. It's an emotional thing. It's not intellectual, emotional, because the words, they're not important. So emotionally, what do I check? That I grasped you. It's not about grasping. Our entire communication is important only in order for each to integrate in the other. Meaning, because here we're building a new infrastructure of the mind and heart, the image of man. And within this man, new ideas will be revealed which don't belong to our intellect at all, have nothing to do with it. We're creating him on a new degree, like with your kids. You're thinking, I made them. They were born from my wife. Suddenly you see that. How come? He's completely different. He doesn't think like you do, etc., etc. Right? Yeah. I have 4, so it's very conspicuous. Right? So you need to do the same thing here. For something new to be born, you need for something new to be born, and in it will already be, or in him, will be new ideas. You said that we're not moving on to the next person until you check that you're integrated in me. Not in mind and intellect, but you're entirely immersed in me. How do I check that you feel that nothing remains of yourself? I don't understand. What exactly do we check? It's hard to express. You check that I have no desires or thoughts or anything of my own, but that I'm entirely in the other person. And if inside I have this answer that says yes, that it happened, I can move on to the next person, that all the 9 people in the team feel the same towards you. Now we can move on to the next person. Yeah. Okay. Now, until now, all 9 of us were working toward you this way. You were the first who started talking, and we made all this inner interaction toward you. Yeah. Now you finished, everyone feels that you finished, and we're moving on to the next person. Me, suppose. Now, I relate, I answer the same challenging question, regardless of what it is. Yeah. And you will now work the same way toward me. Yeah. And now we're doing this round. We completed the round. What for? In order to create a uniform platform in which exists the same structure of 10 layers, with this specific idea, meaning we worked on a certain light, a certain force, how to receive it, how to build it, and mutual bestowal onto each other. Going forward a bit, we completed the round, everyone talked, everyone listened. If I look at the process that happened here from this side, then the first stage was that you worked only on the qualitative emotional connection between you, completed it. The workshop leader gave you another challenging question in a certain field of whatever you're doing. You start relating to it one by one, and while everyone related to it, everyone else listen, try to integrate in that person, we completed the round. Now, when I look from the side, there were 10 speakers here. Each gave his opinion on whatever topic it was, and all the others tried to enter him to completely identify the person who's speaking. How do we advance toward the solution of the challenge we were given if we have 10 different opinions here? What are we advancing toward? We need to solve the challenging question. Not at all. What were we gathered for? This is what I'm getting paid for. This is the artistic creation team of the organization. The integral department of artistic creation, you can call it, doesn't work according to this principle, which the principle of making, producing something, but it works according to the principle of connecting around an idea or the challenge that you were presented with. And how will they answer this demand or idea? It needs to be born from within them. This is what I'm trying to find out. How is it born? We completed the first round. Just like you said, until now, we went step by step following you. There were 10 opinions thrown into the air, into the field of this creative integral team. How do we advance? We advance in that around this idea. What idea? There were 10 different ideas. The one challenge that we were given. Around this one challenge, we need to create unity between us. The problem itself, the challenge itself, is just a stimulation. It's a stimuli. We don't care about the challenge itself. What do you mean? Are you listening or do you want to argue? I'm explaining the method to you. We pay no attention to the challenge because it will be resolved if we elevate it to a higher degree, because there that challenge doesn't exist. Each and every challenge or problem exists because we're not connected. And if we connect around this problem and we find connection, by that we'll solve the problem and we'll see the solution to it. Therefore, the first time we warmed up, we connected on the first stage, regardless of the problem itself. Right. The second time we connected with the problem. The second time we connected, we've built a paltsuf. Just call it that way, it doesn't matter. Our connection. What is a paltsuf? Connection. Connection between everyone. A certain quality of connection. Right. As if it's on neutral. The second time, you threw in a problem. Not you, someone from the outside throws us in a problem. It means that we're working on some kind of a signal, some kind of light, some kind of something. We work on it together. And then we generate a certain action out of our paltsuf, out of our connection, out of our group, team, to this problem. But we need to once again connect around this problem. Because the second round, yes, after the problem, with the problem, that we need to be connected as one man and one heart, where everyone's integrated in everyone, participating in the problem. We don't erase each other, we don't argue, but we only connect and more and more and more. And inside, sure, we have different problems of like arguing and yes and no, etc. When we've reached connection along with the second problem, then we feel a solution. And it'll be expressed in what? How? because we swallow the problem along with the connection and how is it going to be expressed in our circle. We feel, we understand, all of us together. We have the same solution. There is no other solution. That's in the next round, at the end of it. After we finished the round and we've reached a conclusive connection between us, we feel the solution. A new thing is born. And it is a solution that is agreed upon everyone. How? Because we're connected around the problem. I'm asking, how does the technology work? How's your child born? From common work, right? Mutual work. Same thing here. So, everyone, all the 10 expressed their opinion, everyone else delved into the person talking, each and everyone, we completed the first round. What happens on the next round, where there's no next round? All in all, we have two. We have two stages. The first is we connect. In general, then we connect around a certain problem. A person simply talks about the problem. It's simply the topic for connecting on the next level above the problem. Okay, that's what everyone did. We completed, 10 people. We delved into each other. What did we achieve? Before that, what happens? Nothing happens. The meeting's over. I'm asking you, what did we achieve at the end of the second round? You said that we achieved connection in relation to the problem. Complete connection. We're as one. With the problem inside. And with the way we related to the problem. Yeah, but no matter how we related to it, it was just an incentive, a stimulation to connect. So we connected? Yes. In that connection, you feel the solution. To feel, what does it mean? It's expressed in what? In that we all feel the same. So now we're silent, we talk again. It becomes clear on its own. In that pursuit that we've built, I don't understand. In that shared common part that we've built among us, in feeling and understanding, this is where it's revealed, expressed. Will someone express it in words? Suddenly it becomes clear to everyone, like this insight that everyone has, this is the solution that's born in the connection, as the clothing of the light of Chokhmah and the light of Chassadim, if you will. Who will express this insight? You, the next speaker. Doesn't matter, we all feel it. Who's going to express it verbally? Write it down. So be it. You'll have a secretary. Tell the secretary. Great. She's going to start a new round in which she'll say, great, what's the bright idea that was born? No, we don't even need to talk about it. We simply feel that that's how it is. She can express it in words, write it down as a protocol. But it's clear to all of us, we're connected. If we weren't able to achieve a single solution, what's the reason? What do we need to understand? That you haven't reached connection? That we didn't integrate properly, well enough, and so we need to have another round maybe? This is something that you need to work at. But really, if we're talking about creation or taking decisions that are creative or however you put it, this is only after the realization and practice of integral education on those people, and then they'll get this ability. Furthermore, if they're really connected, they can solve a problem that is not necessarily related to their field. A kindergarten teacher can come with a problem related to kids' education, and there could come a physicist from the collider and a surgeon. Anyway, doesn't matter, because they'll see the true creation. And what kind of people do we have in this team of ours in the organization, representatives from all departments? Not necessarily. These need to be people that really went through integral education. Now, does it need to be physical, or can we have a Zoom meeting, virtual meeting? Probably so, but still, I don't know. It depends. A mom can feel her child from a million miles away. But I don't know. There is the ability to connect people that way, but to start with it, maybe in the future, later on, technical question. If it's a small organization or business that doesn't have so many people, and so it can't dedicate 10 people to this creative team, what's the minimum? I think that 5 is also okay, but no less, because you have to check. It also depends what kind of small organization, what kind of small problems do they have, and for what range do they want to find whatever creation it is. Is it for a few months ahead, or a year or two, or with a perspective of 50 years ahead? In conclusion, what can you say about creativity? Connection. It's the key to creativity. Our time's up. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Michael Lightman, on Quora. What is abundance? And why is abundance usually associated with money? Abundance is the feeling of our ability to realize ourselves. We feel wealthy when we feel like we can do anything we have the ability to do. Likewise, we could have billions in our bank accounts, yet feel poor. As for the association of abundance with money, it stems from a spiritual root. In Hebrew, the word for money is kesef, which stems from the same linguistic root as the word kisuf, which means covering. When we cover our egoistic desires, that is, desires for self-benefit at others' expense, we can then rise above these desires, developing an intention to bestow above our inborn desire to receive, and we then experience wealth and abundance on a spiritual level. In our corporeal world, we consider abundance as having a lot of money that we can use to pay for all sorts of goods and services, whereas in the spiritual world, abundance is the amount by which we can cover our egoistic desires and operate with an intention to bestow. The altruistic cover upon our egoistic desires is called a screen, heb. Masak. It is essentially the feeling of the importance of qualities of love, bestowal and connection above the importance of fulfilling our self-aimed desires. When we cover ourselves with the importance of love, bestowal and positive connection to others, then we become rich, and feel rich. We then feel that we have everything we want, that we become equal to the upper force of love, bestowal and connection. By doing so, we achieve complete fulfillment and abundance because we attain connection with the source of every pleasure and delight. Based on Cab TV's I Got a Call. What is abundance? With Cabalist Dr. Michael Lightman on February 27, 2011. Written, edited by students of Cabalist Dr. Michael Lightman.